Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is episode 9 of a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I am your host, Tyler, and I am joined by Jason.
Hi.
Melissa.
Hello.
And we have two newcomers to this episode. We have Aaron.
Hello.
And Dave.
Hello.
Now, Aaron and Dave, what do you know about Dragon Ball Z? Aaron, you go first.
Okay. I had read the Dragon Ball manga in, like, middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But as for Dragon Ball Z, it was something my little brother liked, and so it was dumb. And I didn't watch it. And I know the Dragon Ball characters.
Yeah.
And I know there's fighting and aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I know.
That's about where you're at. Dave, how about yourself? What is your knowledge going into this?
I have some amount of knowledge that's just been kind of absorbed through cultural osmosis and, like, fan art and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I know. I watched the original Dragon Ball quite a bit when I was much younger, and I remember really liking it. That was a very long time ago. And I, you know, I caught an episode or two of DBZ when it happened to be on Cartoon Network at various times, like everyone did.
Right.
And it's like, I remember, it's like, I know there are Saiyans, and there's Vegeta, and then they go to Namek, and then I know about Boo.
Okay.
And that's it.
Wow.
And everything in between there is a gigantic question mark.
Bit of a gap.
To the point that it's like, oh, what's Cell? I don't know what that's about. And I've literally never heard the name Garlic Jr. before until you guys mentioned it on this show. So I'm very excited, because not knowing what the fuck is about to happen is my favorite way to experience media.
Excellent.
I have no idea what's going on, and I love it.
Yeah. For me, the end of the Saiyan stuff is a cliff, and I have no idea really what's over that cliff.
Sweet. We're all going to be on the same page pretty soon, outside of myself, apparently, and Matt, I think. You both know what Saiyans are. We don't need to explain that.
I know that they're proud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are proud. They have tails. They turn into apes.
They have incredible
thighs. Full moon. They've got good hair, except for Nappa.
Yeah, he got the short end of that stick.
You know, there is one question that has been destroying me this entire time.
What's that?
Please.
What does Hala Hedgehala mean?
That is also my question.
Is it like, because I tried to look it up, I couldn't find anything. Is it like Hala bread? Like, I like, you know, my grilled cheese sandwich on Hedgehala bread. Like, what's how? Is there an explanation for this? Or
grilled cheese Hedgehala? I am not sure. That is a great question, and one that I have never considered.
Well, your mind is being expanded all over the place in this show, Tyler.
Truly. That has been the benefit of doing this show, is that people ask questions to things that I just took for granted. Like, Chala Hechala, that's fine. I don't need to commit any brain energy to that.
I might have an answer for you.
Please.
What?
What is it?
Hechala is apparently a rough Englishization of a Japanese slang word hechara, which means
okay,
it's no problem, or I can handle it.
Yeah, that's a very Goku thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. The lyrics.
So yeah, there.
It's like Hakuna Matata, but like better, more like what Goku would say, yeah.
Said, we've solved the mystery of the universe. Thank you.
Amazing.
Hechala Matata.
Yes.
God damn it. I also have to note that I agree with Jason. The credits in the English version are bad,
mm-hmm.
but also they are growing on me.
Sort of a Stockholm situation?
Yes, it absolutely is.
The ending credits?
Oh, I liked them right away.
I can't help but appreciate that. Miraku Zenkai Power.
with
two A's.
It's starting to kind of work. I'm kind of feeling the miracle popcorn shower, if I'm being honest with myself.
The,
I like,
you're starting to smell that chestnut scented alien.
I like the storyline of these two, this apple colored alien and this nut scented monster coming together, and their hearts beat faster.
It's a rich drama.
I ship it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You ship the end credits with itself.
Yeah, the apple and the chestnut.
Well, that's our fan fiction talk for this episode.
When I first listened to it, I thought it was talking about like Goku and Piccolo. That was my newcomer's opinion.
Have you guys noticed that the subtitle, like, it seems like in every other episode, the subtitles in the end credits are different. Sometimes they're in English, and sometimes they're just phonetic, like Japanese words spelled out with English letters.
A common thing that a lot of animes do, where they alternate, like, here's what it means, and then here's
where
you can sing along.
Mm-hmm. They just jumped out at me.
What is your familiarity, Dave and Aaron, with the fan fiction side of things, if at all?
Yes, I must know this.
Nothing except for that legendarily awful fic that was a crossover where Goku appears in the Diary of Anne Frank.
What? Come again?
You didn't know about this? This
Nuh-uh.
Is the thing that's real.
No.
That's an ancient legend of fanfiction.net.
Didn't run into that one.
Where Goku appears in Anne Frank's house, and it turns out that Hitler is also a Super Saiyan, and then they fight in the sky above the city that Anne Frank lives in.
Is this the plot to the new Wolfenstein game?
I haven't played it yet, probably. It is a legendary gem of bad fic.
That's some My Immortal type shit.
Yes, it is of the same stock, absolutely.
I have a really weird fanfiction thing that is like, I'm like literally blushing. because, like, I knew of these characters.
Yeah.
And, a couple years ago, when I went to my first little comic convention, and it wasn't a very good one, it was very small, but there was one booth that had, like, all these little books. Mostly they were Naruto, but they were, like, published and bound books, and they were all in Japanese, but they were romantic fan fiction and collections, and it was, like, an impulse buy because the person at that store was the nicest to me, and so I have like a bunch of these titles of Dragon Ball Z romantic fanfiction that's all in Japanese, and I have no idea what's going on, but
I'm wondering if that's the kind of title that needed to be like sold, like you see it at the store but it's already shrink wrapped at the store.
I mean, they were trying to like give them away almost. We have too many of these things. So I got like 5 for a dollar.
Everything must go.
There's one that I remember. It's got Piccolo on it, the green boy. The title is in English and it's Libido. And that's what that is.
Yeah.
It was a bargain sale on Slash.
That's in a box somewhere.
Awesome. Well, on this show, we watch 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z every week, because the plan is to watch all of Dragon Ball Z, including the filler. But we don't want to do it in 5 years. We want to do it in like 2 years. So we're watching 3 at a time. And we're also, we skipped ahead to Dragon Ball Z because, to quote the Mystery Skulls, I'm worried about the future. Ain't fucking with that past shit. and on this week's episode, we are covering episodes 25, 26, and 27. Episode 25, the English title, is Sacrifice. Pretty straightforward.
Sacrifice.
Jason, do you happen to have the Japanese title?
I do. It is Tenshin Han Cries Out. This is my last energy work cannon. Now, those last 3 words might throw you for a loop, but I think that's their way of saying the Kikoho, or the tribe, right?
Just a rough translation.
That's a very straightforward name.
Energy work cannon. It does the damn thing.
I mean, I feel like the English title got it in one this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Kind of boiled down that point in a nice
way. Based on the title alone, I wonder what's going to happen.
We begin this episode with some snake way hopping. Goku is still working his way along, trying to get back.
As have begun so many episodes.
Exactly.
Recently.
It's a familiar sight. He doesn't know what's going on, but he knows that it's not going well.
Something feels weird.
It feels weird and bad. We also get a glimpse at some weird biomes on the planet Earth that I noted for the first time, because there is an ocean right next to this wasteland that they're fighting on.
Yeah, it is getting... And also, these biomes are getting fucked up six ways from sundown.
There's some twisters here.
Yeah, there's some natural disasters going on.
In these this is around the point where they start talking about how, like, the energy that the powerful fighters and the Saiyans generate and project, like, literally has, like, effects on the laws of physics and is, like, screwing up the atmosphere and the weather patterns and radio waves.
Couldn't be the fact that that moon, that pesky moon is gone or anything.
It's unrelated. Yeah. Krillin is getting freaked out and kind of wants to run away. Tien decides it's his time to step up, though he only has one arm left, and starts fighting Nappa on his own.
Yeah, it didn't bother Piccolo, and it's not going to bother Tien.
Before that, when Krillin is freaking out, Piccolo, in the Japanese version, makes note that it looks like Chiaotzu's death was for nothing.
Wow! Yeah.
Thanks, Big Green.
Ice cold, Big Green.
Chiaotzu dissolved into perfume for nothing.
He's not wrong.
So I have a note here for the beginning of this episode, which is you have been making note that since the first episode of this show that everybody from space is bad at numbers.
Yes.
And I have noted that this trend holds true because King Kai is also bad at math.
Mm-hmm.
He did not do his calculations correctly. So I've been keeping a rough tally of how many people have died as a direct result of King Kai's insufficient math education.
He fucked this one up hard.
And the body count currently stands at 2 Z Warriors, and however many people lived in that city that Nappa blew up when they first landed.
By East City.
That was, you know, a decent-sized urban area, right?
Exactly. Now, I'm curious if that number will go up at all throughout these episodes.
I'm not sure.
I also note that when Tien cuts loose on Nappa and gets very angry, the Vayne situation...
Yeah.
Is Namekian worthy. I think he may have some Namekian DNA somewhere in his family tree.
It's in that third eye of his.
All concentrated in his blood vessels.
There's something I always notice when Z characters are, like, super, super mad, is they quirk one eyebrow down really far and the other eyebrow up really high.
Yes.
Just to let you know how twisted they're feeling.
Just all twisted up.
Just
I made a note. I think this might have been before Tien started fighting. I made a note of the little background film crew.
Yeah, the news crew
filming this alien invasion. It's an awfully small film crew for a first contact, but
they're all that's left.
Yeah, they had
hope
to.
They're getting overtime for this.
They had to scramble their team.
I hope they're getting hazard pay.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
I mean, there's rocks flying everywhere.
I think a number of journalists have already died.
Probably, yes.
Well, at least the ones in the helicopter.
Yes. Brave defenders of the press.
The brave people at Idiot TV.
Yeah.
Whose logo returns.
What was the...
God damn it.
What was the thing on the chopper last week?
Yeah, Aho TV.
That's right.
Which is back again.
Krillin wants to jump in to help Tien, but Piccolo... wants to make up a plan. He wants to analyze the situation.
And yeah,
come
just,
up with some way to help other than just jumping right in.
Just let Nappa beat the hell out of Tien for a few more seconds. Just
I mean, Piccolo and Krillin work surprisingly well together, I think.
They're a good team.
They get their shit together. They have been in a foxhole together as of now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Piccolo understands that you go to war with the army you've got.
Which is a bald child and a different child.
Another smaller child.
And a child with hair. Since I skipped some episodes, I was surprised that Gohan now has an outfit that kind of matches Piccolo's.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me smile.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was very good.
Like father, like son.
He knows who his real dad is now.
Yeah. His new green dad.
Piccolo wants to plan a sneak attack on Nappa, rather than taking him head on. And Vegeta compliments him on the plan.
Yeah, that's another note that I have. Vegeta,
yeah.
Unlike Raditz, has the ability to hear things being said by people directly in front of him.
I have the exact same note.
Sneak attack, huh? It's, pretty great.
God bless.
And by Piccolo's reaction, it seems like almost a superpower in this world. This is not a normal thing.
Wait, you heard me?
It's the mark of Vegeta's true power level.
I said that shit out loud.
There's also a subtitle glitch in here where it should be Tien panting, but it says Yamcha panting.
From beyond the grave.
Guys, he's been dead for a few episodes.
Panting from the check-in station.
I also really appreciated Piccolo's face when Vegeta asks who Goku is and is he strong.
I love this moment so much.
When Piccolo goes to bat for Goku.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just this is the first encounter Vegeta's thinking about, like, so this Goku, huh? He sounds pretty tough. Not realizing that he's about to get a taste of his lifelong lament.
This is a weird tendency of Piccolo's that I had never noticed until this rewatch, is that he loves to have the last word and, like, spoils
he's
like
so
secrets.
Petty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? Like, I noticed that right away, from this first episode.
Well, I mean, watching as a kid, it never jumped out at me, but this time watching through, like, he tells Raditz about the Dragon Balls, he tells Vegeta that Goku's coming.
He sets off the whole plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not for Big Green, where would we be?
Pretty safe as far as Earth goes.
You know, population would be about 30,000 plus.
Yeah.
Have at least one more city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still have another moon, I think.
Nappa promises Tien a nice trip to the afterlife, which is one way, of course. And then Piccolo and Krillin launch their surprise attack. So what is the plan? Does anybody remember?
Well, the plan is when he pauses to disembowel Tien to blindside him and throw him towards Gohan, who will blow him up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Gohan's got this.
The first two stages go quite well. I have a note here that's only for Jay, which is that Krillin obviously took air superiority. That's the move he uses. And even knocks Nappa out of the air. And then Gohan makes a terrible mistake, which is to react like a normal human child.
Like a fucking 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Like an actual normal fucking person. This plan should not have hinged on a kindergartner.
No. Most this, plans shouldn't.
This, to compare it to another anime of the same genre, this was not a Yusei Run moment. That did not happen.
Yeah, Gohan has not yet achieved plus ultra.
No. Minus less than.
Minus less than. So Gohan is too scared to do his part, and Krillin and Piccolo have to try and pick up the slack. Nappa dodges out of the way.
Nappa's too fast.
I honestly don't think it would have worked if Gohan had behaved normally. I'm gonna be real with y'all. Those beans just cannot cut it.
I think, and I might be wrong, but I think that Piccolo was hinging his entire plan on Gohan doing his blow up mountain technique.
Ah.
That he has seen him do several times in the
well,
past.
Well, that was
when he
that
gets
was his mistake.
Scared. Yeah.
He should have just hurled him at Nappa.
Yeah.
He didn't. They were missing a critical part of the signature move.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the Socratic method. He's figuring out what the variables are. Like, is it that Gohan is moving towards a thing, or that the thing is moving towards him?
This will pay dividends down the road.
And
this
now
is
we
a
know.
Physics problem. Two beams from two Z fighters are moving at 4 or 5 kilometers an hour.
Well, I mean, he should have just given this problem to Gohan as a homework assignment.
Yes, Gohan's so good at math.
Apparently,
Gohan, solve for X.
Just imagining hurtling through the air, holding a workbook in his hand.
Solve for Nappa.
So it is at this point that Kami knows for sure that Piccolo is going to die soon.
He sounds so matter of fact, like, "Yep, I'm going to eat it.
It's going to happen.
Here we go."
Can someone please explain to me the link between old Piccolo and not old Piccolo?
It is confusing, like, regardless of my knowledge, because the situation was that there was one Namekian who came to Earth, and to become the god of the planet, he needed to be pure of heart, so he split himself into two people, a good one and a bad one.
Ah.
The good one was Kami, the bad one was King Piccolo, who then died and birthed the Piccolo that we know out of an egg from his mouth.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, so apparently the mind link persisted through the egg.
His essence was transferred.
The understanding of it in my head is that Kami is Piccolo's uncle, his dad, and himself.
All right.
all at the same time.
That makes sense.
Perfect yeah, sense.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Nimic.
That's yep, the Trinity.
Goku is hopping along Snake Way, and we get to see another cameo of the long-suffering Street Sweeper.
Oh, that poor boy. He made it back onto Snake Way.
Uh-huh. He falls again, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. He eats shit again.
With poor his fella.
Thing all with his Street Sweeper already being held together with duct tape.
It's got to be coming out of his paycheck, right?
King Emma is, you know, tight with the purse strings. So I have another note here towards the end of this episode, which is just, they drew one frame of Vegeta smiling smugly with his arms folded, and they got their money's worth out of it.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
It's all you need.
It's a
we
good
cut
frame.
Back to that. I mean, if it's going to be on for 7 seconds, it's better be a good frame.
Cutting back to the fight, Krillin half-jokingly offers to squeal about the Dragon Balls to the Saiyans. Like, what if we just told them? That would end this, right? Piccolo insists that Krillin and he use their multiform techniques, and Vegeta scoffs and calls them amateurs.
Yeah, I'm good at that. Amateurs at splitting yourself into doubles?
The effect persists, too, that whenever specifically Piccolo does it, it's very gooey.
Yeah.
And his clones are, like, popping physically out of his body.
Yes.
It's bad. It's a bad thing, and I don't like it.
But for Krillin, it just seems to kind of just pop out pretty effortlessly, right?
Yeah. Well, also, when, spoilers, Nappa kicks their asses, and all of the clones are sent hurtling back to Earth, all three Piccolo clones, like, fall in a perfectly straight line, and they just slam back to each other.
Nappa did that on purpose.
Absolutely.
In a visceral, gooey explosion.
He was scoring himself in his head.
Yeah. I mean, you have to entertain yourself somehow.
And as a result of all of the multiple fetal sacrifices that he has been, that have been aimed at him, Nappa's armor has been damaged a little bit. with the only real result being that his proud Saiyan thighs are now completely exposed.
Because Big Green is upset with Gohan and doesn't want his help anymore, Gohan runs over to check on Tien, and he says the line, "Hey, Mr. Tien, please don't be dead."
God bless Gohan.
It's a good request.
He does, in the Japanese, it's a little more pondering. He's comes up and is like, "I wonder if he died."
Tien starts having some flashbacks of the good times with Chiaotzu.
Oh my god, I remember this.
You know, the good times of them running through the woods and back when they were assassins together.
You know, the old days. We had the sweetest little, like, I don't know, it sounds like a horse head fiddle or something, that kind of like very somber sound playing over the soundtrack for this. Mm-hmm. It is very wholesome.
He makes up his mind to join Chiaotzu and puts his all into one last attack.
I have a little spoiler for you. This attack has its own wiki page.
Oh?
Holy shit.
The one-armed tri-beam?
Yep. It is called the Spirit Tri-Beam.
Oh.
Okay.
And he says ultimate technique in the literal sense of the word ultimate, because it is his last. It is an attack that specifically requires you to give every bit of energy you have in your body and throw it out into one big beam.
Wow.
And on an episode title called Sacrifice, I'm not sure how well it goes.
Well, it's about as strong as Nappa's pauldrons.
Because, yeah, blasted those off.
And what do they make that Saiyan armor out of?
It's something very stretchy and pliable, it seems like.
Warbla. It's cosplay. Yeah. I don't think they really need it.
Well, they explicitly don't. As we find out later.
Yeah, the fact that they're all, that those shoulder pads have all just, like, popped off within, like, not too much time just shows how useless the little extra danglies are.
He just injected them to reduce his wind resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So Nappa brushes off this last attack, and he's getting ready to ram into Piccolo and Krillin, but Vegeta, who's still been ruminating on who Goku is, and he says, like, this Goku they keep mentioning, even though Piccolo said it once.
Yep.
Just echoed in his head.
Vegeta tells him to stop. Before we move on, I did want to note they reused some animation during Nappa's charge when his armor was still intact.
Oh, nice!
I did not catch that.
Oh, that rules. I love the freeze frame. He's, like, about to go on a full-on assault, but he stops mid-lunge.
There's a breaking sound effect, like a car.
Like a cartoon skid mark sound effect.
Yes. And it was great.
What kind of friction is being applied to flight?
And the pose that he makes when he stops in the air is magical.
Oh, it rules.
He figures that this Goku they're mentioning is probably Kakarot, and
Goku.
Yeah, he wants to put that jerk in his place. So he decides to wait for 3 hours for Goku to show up. Nappa says, "Screw that! I'm gonna kill them now." But we see Vegeta shout him down. Like, up until this point, it has seemed like they are partners, but this is a moment where you see, like, yes, Vegeta is the one in charge here.
Oh, I didn't write this note until like near the end of the third episode, but I have several notes where that say Nappa is a child, but I do have a note that says Vegeta is a dance mom. I very much got that vibe throughout these three episodes.
Well, yeah, he's kind of critiquing Nappa's performance, calling out moves to him the entire time. I really love Vegeta's entire deal in these few episodes.
Smile to the judges when you blow them up.
10, 10, 10. Ooh, 9 from the Namekian judge.
Oof, and no more Namekian judge. Oh.
So Goku is still blasting his way down Snake Way. We end the episode the way that we started it, and there are 3 Earth fighters left. Any closing thoughts for episode 25?
Tien, I miss you, because you seem to actually care about doing martial arts and not just shooting beams at people.
You'll be holding up waterfalls in heaven.
That sounds like the name of, like, a lo-fi hip-hop album.
Yeah, you know what, Tien? Do go chasing waterfalls.
Don't stick to the rivers and the creeks that you're used to.
Episode 26, the English title is Nappa's Rampage.
In Japanese, the title is An Intense 3-Hour Delay, The Bullet Express of the Somersault Cloud.
What?
I have no idea what that means.
The Bullet Express of the Somersault Cloud.
Yeah. I am assuming that's referring to the Nimbus?
Probably.
Yeah, I think that's a translation of the Japanese name of the cloud.
The Kintoun?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's in it.
My very first note for this episode is really just to point out that I'm an idiot, because I made note that Krillin is a mouth breather, and then I went, well, obviously.
Of course.
He doesn't have a nose.
Vegeta wants to make a display out of Goku as a price for his betrayal of the Saiyan race.
Gohan tries to escape because Piccolo tells them that he is not going to contribute to the battle. He's just getting in the way, and he should go home. Literally tells him to go home, to run home to his mommy.
Yeah.
And then Nappa stops him and makes a perfect textbook "Oh no, you didn't" pose with his finger. And then Gohan tells him he smells, and Nappa is outraged by a third grade insult.
Oh my god, that's Gohan's most powerful attack so far in this battle.
This is a fantastic sequence.
I wrote a note asking if Piccolo taught Gohan to use words to hurt people as well as his fists while I was gone.
I feel like that's the only way Piccolo was trying to explain teaching Gohan how to mouth beat. It's like you open your mouth and then they get hurt from it.
Ah, I see, John Stout notes.
Call them smelly?
You smell.
If you're curious about the Japanese version of this, Gohan yells to Nappa that his mom's belly button sticks out, which is apparently a fairly common insult in Japan.
That's pretty good.
And,
that's amazing.
And Nappa replies with, "How did you know?"
Who's Nappa's mom?
There's a whole story here that we never get to see. Is this in one of the movies? Is there a dark secret of Nappa's mom in one of the movies somewhere?
Listen, you leave Mrs. Brussels Sprout out of this.
I wanted to note Piccolo's very good wisdom that would be good to, like, cross-stitch. Is that we can't just give up when things aren't going the way we want them to be, which is a thing I tell my students pretty often.
It is good advice.
Anyway, and also, facing your fears would have been much less painful.
Yes.
Than facing Tien's death, yeah.
Yep. Piccolo has the fucking power lines, man. And doesn't Gohan say, like, if I hadn't screwed up, Tien would still be alive? And Piccolo's like, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's,
you killed
that's
him.
What happened.
Tough love.
He does not pull any punches.
Can we give a shout out to this dangerous news crew?
Yes. I was just going to do that. They're getting closer and closer to the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Nappa does not like that.
He's about to go on a rampage of sorts.
Indeed. He begins dive bombing over their car, chasing them around and laughing maniacally.
Doing a really great flying pose.
And the crew calls him the strong muscular alien. I forget how they referred to Vegeta.
But... I think it's just the littler one.
Yeah.
Or the littler alien. Nappa chases them back to the news camp, and he I-beams the camp, wiping them all out.
Killing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's also a brief animation error here where Vegeta's scouter appears to phase onto his head in between camera angles. He doesn't put it back on. It's just 1 minute it's there, and one minute it isn't there, 1 minute it's there.
It's hard to keep track of.
So body count of Kenkai being badass, still climbing.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So I know that this is not a Kai podcast, but I will say that Nappa has an incredible line in Kai that he does not have here with the news crew.
Please. Kai is a different dub.
Yeah, it is a retranslation and a different dub that has been chopped down to cut out filler and stuff like that.
Ah, okay. So
it
cuts out all the best parts.
Exactly. Which is why we're not watching it. But when he is dive bombing and eye beaming the news camp, he just shouts, "I hate the media!"
That rules, actually.
Yeah. Is this a problem that Saiyans have?
Apparently.
I guess they probably get some bad press, what with their business practices.
Saiyans and flash photography, man, there's something to it.
Nappa is bummed out at how easy Earthlings are to kill.
Aww. I have a note here. Nappa, Mom, I'm bored.
Can I go play, Vegeta?
Doesn't Vegeta tell him, as long as you don't break a sweat?
Yes. Because mm-hmm. he wants him to be fresh when Goku shows up.
Yeah, he's not doing two loads of Saiyan armor laundry.
Yeah, he wants him to be fresh when Goku shows up because Goku might be at least a little bit hard. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe he might be strong.
I like that hedging from Vegeta. Like, he's like, I'm not worried about it, but I might be a little worried about it.
I love Vegeta.
Nappa mopes around the camp he just destroyed until, oh, what's that? There's a navy over there.
Sweet!
Out in the
ocean.
There's
a dog captain in this navy.
I love this dog captain.
He's and a good
his,
boy.
And his fox first mate.
Apparently dogs hold a lot of positions of power.
Yeah, dogs are
in the government
class
of this world.
They're the high ones in this place.
We have a dog-based hierarchy here. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably for the best.
They are truly the good boys of this world.
Maybe he's related to the dog President King.
Ah,
could be. It's just nepotism.
So, in the interests of accuracy, so that we know, it's very important that we know exactly how much to blame King Kai for.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research.
Please.
And I discovered that your average battleship has roughly 3,000 crew.
Oh boy.
And your average aircraft carrier, of which there is at least one in the fleet that we see, between actual sailors and the air wing contingent, there are at least 6,000 people on each aircraft carrier. So I say at least 30,000 people die in the next few seconds.
Cool, 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 cool.
I also really appreciate that when the Navy opens fire on Nappa, their battleship giant naval guns are shooting, like, Gundam beam rifle projectiles.
Yeah, I had it here that Nappa turns into a main character from a shoot-em-up, a shmup.
Yes.
It's like a vertical scrolling Nappa.
I'd play that game.
I kind of would.
This sequence has always been some of my favorite animation from the early episodes, just because it featured heavily in the Rock the Dragon opening theme song. Was Nappa just carving through these jets like they're butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's splashing through them like he's in a kiddie pool.
Yeah, I wrote, he swims through that plane like he's in a ball pit.
just having a good time.
A grand old time.
Happy boy.
He's like Yamcha in that baseball fight.
Pretty much that, only on a much higher scale.
Yeah.
He notices nearby another amusement park to demolish and another city to wipe out.
Yeah.
They just check a few more off.
There's 10 minutes left.
We have a few good cuts here.
Yeah.
We go back to the commie house crew watching TV or failing to watch TV a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And
that darn signal just keeps going in and out. I'm just, not sure why.
The reception is no good. Chi-Chi faints a lot.
Yes.
It occurs to me that she seems to have a remarkably weak constitution for the woman who survived sexual intercourse with Goku more than once.
True.
Her child is fighting aliens.
There's a very
and
good line
and not doing
here.
Well.
That's fair.
There's a fantastic line here, and that is Chi-Chi going, "Oh my Gohan," and then falling over.
Prophetic, that's, perhaps.
It's the Oh My Lanta of DBZ.
There is a very different exchange here in the Japanese version between Oolong and Bulma. I guess the dub kind of loses pervy Oolong because he gets upset because he's highly allergic to danger. And in the Japanese version, he's upset and says, "I wish I could have collected more girls' panties before he dies." And Bulma says, "That's impossible." And Oolong says, "There's no way they can win." And Bulma says, "There's no girls stupid enough to let their panties be stolen by you." Yeah.
They're just, like, bringing back... Because, like, these guys were, like, a full buddy comedy back in Dragon Ball, right?
Yeah.
Like, they were constantly, like, on each other's backs all the time.
Bulma and Oolong?
At each other's throats in the early episodes.
And now I guess they're kind of just trying to bring that back a little bit for us.
I guess.
A brief moment of laughter.
We need some levity in these trying times.
I love the sequence of Goku getting to the checkpoint. the check-in station of Afterworld. Because it just feels like a middle school relay race. Like, Kami senses him. He's like, "Oh shit, he's there. I gotta get over there." And
yeah, Kami's
attitude here
is very, I think, is very funny for the, like, the god of Earth.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Goku heads to the check-in station, runs into Kami.
Yep.
Here's what I'm wondering. Why didn't he run into Chaozu or Yamcha or Tien maybe up there?
They were checking in still.
Kami brought Goku to the front of the line. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it suck to be the last defender for Earth and you have to wait in line as a freaking cloud?
I mean, it's better than having your arm punched off.
Yeah, with the classic arm break technique.
Just a little bit of downtime to catch your breath. Goku makes it back to Earth and he hops down Korin Tower, who tosses him the last 2 Zenzu beans.
Yeah, okay, what the fuck is any of this? I don't know. Who is the cat? What are the beans? What is any of this?
I had no idea who this person was, but I instantly fell in love with him. Because he has... For 3 reasons. First, because he sounds like he has drunk nothing but whiskey for the last 15 years. Second, because he apparently knows who Goku is well enough to know that he can just throw these 2 tiny, unbelievably valuable objects out into open space, and it's not a problem. Goku will just get them. Like, that's safe to do.
Yeah.
And lastly, that he says, "Give him hell, Goku!" which stuck out to me.
I love you, Bean Cat.
So, a brief primer on Bean Cat, as Jason has just dubbed him.
That's his name.
Back in original Dragon Ball, during the second saga, the Red Ribbon Army saga, as part of some training, Goku had to physically climb this tower to reach the top of it, where Korin was waiting, and he had heard that Korin would train him in martial arts, and Korin ended up being this cat character, and it turned out that the training, surprise, was climbing the fucking tower.
I mean,
so they get you.
Fair.
You did it.
Because it made Goku a lot stronger. The Zenzu beans are a bean that only Korin knows how to grow, and eating one will fully heal you and recharge all your energy. It's like a max potion.
It's a mega elixir.
It's a mega elixir.
Wait, but exactly. Isn't he, like, just reborn? Like, shouldn't... He just, like, started a new life, so, like, shouldn't he be at full health?
He was reborn at King Kai's place. Any stamina he expelled running along and then flying back along Snake Way, he eats a bean to get back. And I do like that he gets 2 of the last beans, and he's like, "All right, 1 for daddy." Just taking a road bean.
Better.
Fucking Goku.
To further conserve his energy, he decides to fly on Kinto-un, or Nimbus Cloud.
Ah, so that's why he does it. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does end up needing every drop.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Meanwhile, Nepa's decided to lose some extra baggage once the 3 hours are up.
That beefy boy's all sweaty.
He wants to be naked so badly here.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
here's my theory on that. So Vegeta tells him not to break a sweat, and as he's blowing up the city, in which there was a woman in yellow who had a pet dinosaur on a leash, he accidentally broke a sweat and said, "Oh no, I hope Vegeta doesn't notice." So
get rid of the evidence.
Get rid of those sweaty, stinky clothes.
I have to burn these clothes later.
I have a note here that the city he blows up uses the same footage from the East City when he first landed.
They're not going to animate two cities blowing up, Jason.
Absolutely not.
What, do you think we're made of money?
Either that or based on the signs, both of those cities are exactly 2 kilometers away from Kubo.
That's not impossible.
Do you guys think that lady with the dinosaur was Becky Hafford?
Not anymore. I don't know. I feel like Becky Hafford would be like someone closer to Bulma and Yamcha's age.
Mm, true.
Maybe Becky Hafford was her niece. This is Kathy Hafford.
Sorry, Kathy.
Please, it's Catherine.
Sorry, you're right.
What's her dinosaur's name?
Rumbles.
There we go.
Any closing thoughts for episode 26?
Give him hell, Goku.
that is the last line of my notes.
All right, moving on to episode 27. The English title is Nimbus Speed.
The Japanese title is Leave It to Me, Gohan's Great Burst of Anger.
Oh.
I kept reading the English title in the same way as, like, Ludicrous Speed in Spaceballs.
My first note is that every last time feature this week has had Yamcha dying. They just want to drive that point home.
Da-na-na.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Here's everyone who's eaten total shit so far. Dun, 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 dun.
It's Yamcha.
Yeah,
Yamcha.
It's not even everyone. It's always been Yamcha. Sometimes it's Chiaotzu, but Yamcha for sure.
Yep, just so we know.
The Z Fighters are coming up with a plan of how to handle Nappa, which is to grab his tail and then for Gohan to blast him.
Once again.
God damn it, Gohan, blast him.
Once again, we need a Yusei Run moment from this kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To get this to work, I have a note here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, Nappa is drawn with nipples. And that feels wrong to me. Because none of the other guys have nipples. Goku ain't got no nipples. Tien ain't got no nipples.
This is his proud Saiyan nipples.
Right. Maybe it's because of his mom's belly button. Maybe that's related.
It must be considered as a factor.
It could be. Saiyans have 2 belly buttons in the mid-pectoral region.
No, thank you.
and Goku's are just itties, so there's that.
It's not getting better.
This is very uncomfortable to think about.
It's getting worse, actually.
I just like this worse. A lot.
So I also have a Nappa anatomy-related note, which is Nappa has a tiny head.
Yes.
that changes, too.
Yes, and both him and Piccolo feel like either their heads are shrinking or the rest of their bodies are expanding over the course of these couple of episodes.
I noted that the art of this episode is kind of a B-team effort, I feel like.
A little bit.
A lot of folks are off-modeled this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do like that Nappa, while approaching them, listening into them, concocting their plan, just goes, "Secrets! Secrets!"
Yeah. Nappa does not share Vegeta's ability to overhear conversations.
What you gossiping about?
We see a very weird chin Vegeta.
Yes.
I hope he has his own wiki page, Weird Chin Vegeta.
The various phases of Vegeta.
Well, this is involved with the theory that, you know, weird off-color bug planet Vegeta is a different person entirely.
Mm-hmm.
This is another Vegeta clone who had to step in here for some reason.
It's a stunt Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing they fucked up in the cloning vat was his chin. So after they initiate their plan, Krillin has an incredible line delivery.
What's
where
that?
Krillin is just rushing at Nappa to get his attention, and he yells, "Fiend!
Yes!
You rube!
You, you beast! You knave!"
Yeah. It is the most un-Krillin line.
Have at thee!
Serious.
Yes.
I also wanted to note, as they're making this plan, I wanted to give kudos to Piccolo for recognizing that Gohan's reaction was the natural reaction of a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He got a little heated in the moment, but he does understand.
He understands so much that I'm a little surprised he was so committed to this world domination shtick. Like, he seems to have considerable empathy for an evil overlord. Demon King.
That's what his dad wanted for him. He's realizing what he wants for himself now.
He's finding his own identity.
So Piccolo does grab Nappa's tail, but whoops, doesn't work.
Nope. Gets knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, Big Green gets bopped on the head pretty hard and just passes out.
Like a visible indent in his forehead.
Yeah.
From Nappa's elbow.
No pupils in those anime eyes.
Vegeta laughs that they tried such a tactic and says, "We've evolved beyond that weakness," which I am of two minds on.
Yeah.
What minds, like, are you of?
It's kind of just shitty writing to say that doesn't work on us. Like, that rule doesn't apply, this established rule. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it makes them more menacing, which I like.
And it makes Raditz look even more useless.
Yeah, it just continues to drive home. He's been dead for how many episodes now?
Yeah.
We've evolved beyond this, except for this really shitty Saiyan that we brought with us.
We didn't teach him.
It is pretty terrible writing. But there's an element of, like, you know, 7-year-old kids playing with action figures of it. Well, no, you can't grab my tail because I've evolved.
I dodged it.
Yeah.
I got shield. That's
very endearing to me, especially considering how many of the active players in this saga, including the majority of our main protagonists, act like children anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the world that they live in kind of works according to their logic, and that's very funny to me.
I was gonna say, I think that they just didn't teach Raditz the how not to get grabbed by the tail so they could fuck with him while they're not conquering worlds.
Yeah.
Their favorite thing to do is just to hold Raditz by the tail.
Raditz, honey.
Poor Raditz.
Poor Raditz.
I had more Nappa nipple notes here.
Please. Never enough.
Triple N.
Never enough Nappa nipple notes, personally. They didn't really draw this is probably the biggest reason that characters don't have those in Dragon Ball Z when they're moving around and fighting shirtless, because they're kind of hard to animate moving consistently.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of floating in that shot. A little bit. Kind of wandered off to the side like a trailing cloud.
They just wanted to check out what was going on over there.
It's like eyes, but on your chest.
Nappa doesn't let us out all the time. He's always got that shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta explore.
My eyes are down here.
The Saiyans have evolved to not need their tails, but now they've added defenses by having eyes as nipples.
Just additional vantage points on the battlefield.
Rapid evolution.
Back at the Kame house, Chi-Chi is Ramboing out. She has raided Launch's closet full of guns and is going to go save Gohan.
And just walks out covered.
I was so proud of her. I just wrote in all caps, "Chi-Chi, yes, go girl, get your son."
Yes!
Yeah, I wanted this to happen real bad.
She's a good-ass mom. She's like, "No, this is stupid. I'm taking my 5-year-old out of the battlefield with aliens, and we're going home."
Mm-hmm. I think she asks at some point, "Doesn't anybody care?" And this is a valid question. Because everybody's just sitting watching the TV still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saying, "Oh, Goku will come fix it.
Let Goku deal with it."
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of a psychological crutch that, like, everybody in this universe is slowly falling into.
Goku's got it.
Yeah, just wait until Goku's here.
Goku, there's a big bug in the kitchen. Goku, can you open this jar, this new jar of ketchup? Bulma has a very good line here where she just smacks Oolong as being obnoxious, just smacks him down by saying, "Can it, pork rind?"
I love this voice actor.
Bulma's very good.
Bulma gets a little nostalgic in this part.
We just get reminded that Yamcha is dead yet again.
Yes, I made note that a single tear falls on Yamcha's face in the photo.
Dramatic.
Symbolic.
Back at the fight, Gohan is duking it out with Nappa now, and Nappa is beating the shit out of Gohan.
Yes.
Yep, as predicted.
Beating up a small child.
You go, Nappa.
He yet again mentions that Gohan should show some Saiyan pride, and when he makes a lunge for Gohan, he gets a jaw full of Krillin's foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A new challenger.
Now, Krillin does surprisingly well here.
He holds his own.
Yes, I have my notes say, Krillin starts playing Shieldless Dark Souls, because he knows full well that if he gets hit once, his ribcage will turn inside out. But he goes for it nonetheless. I respect Krillin for this.
You gotta utilize those iframes.
Yes. And then...
You gotta wait for the wind-up, then you parry, then you roll to the side, Estus.
Well, that's what a Sensu Bean is, right?
Exactly.
Ah, true.
Now it's time, isn't it? What's it for?
What is this?
Some kind of a move?
What's Krillin doing?
It's kind of like a plate shape sort of thing.
It's a title drop is what it is.
It's a disc, if you will.
Yeah!
That's one of the words that came up on thesaurus.com.
Perhaps is this the Destructo disc?
It is a Destructo disc.
Oh, I get it. That's the title of the thing.
Oh. God bless.
It took us 9 episodes to get to our namesake, but we did it.
9 in-show episodes, so 27...
27 episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Actual.
Achievement unlocked, boys.
Uh-huh.
We did it.
Found it.
Nappa thinks he can catch it.
Like a Labrador with a Frisbee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But his excellent dance mom steps in from the sidelines.
Yep.
From the
this is where I have that note.
From the bleachers.
This is the mom pulling the kid away from a rushing car in traffic.
Vegeta, the dark mom friend.
You can't catch the car, sweetie. The disc zooms past him and scars up his beautiful face.
And decapitates a mountain.
Yeah, just cleaves it right in
which
two.
Which then explodes.
Yeah,
I'm sure Piccolo's very angry. These are his mountains to blow up.
Yeah, it hit the thermal charges placed deep within the sediment.
Piccolo pre-placed there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gives him a little mental boost when he blows up mountains with just a flick of his finger.
Yeah, sometimes he needs that to get through the day.
A mountain a day keeps the Kami away.
Keeps the sands away? No,
keeps
that didn't
sands.
Work.
No. that did not work. They're here. I think it's at this point that I had what I think is a crucial revelation that will allow me to understand this show better.
Please.
Which is that this is like an opera, except instead of, like, singing really high notes, it's grunting really loud.
It is. You've cracked the case.
There was a previous note that I had, and I don't remember where it was or what was actually going on when I took it, and it's better that way because the note is just in caption brackets, snarling continues. And that just, yeah, that sums it up.
So now I love how over the top opera can be, and now that I've made that connection, I am on board.
Mm-hmm. You should continue to develop this theme in future episodes.
Please.
DBZ as opera.
Gladly. I'll have to read more books about opera.
Demand this.
Nice.
Nappa is super pissed about his face, and he launches a big counterattack, and Krillin does a flip. He gets caught in the residual blast, and it just flips him around in the air.
Before Nappa can deliver the finishing blow,
Big Green wakes up.
Yep. Oh. Zap.
He gets him right in the Chaozu spot.
That's tender.
This is my favorite Piccolo line this week, because he says, "Sorry, I thought it was your face."
And then what makes it is Vegeta behind him just loses it.
Yeah, this really tickles Vegeta as well. He liked that one.
He gets in on the roast.
They've got a point, Nappa.
It's an easy mistake to make. Yeah. Fucking Vegeta.
Vegeta's not above playing the SmackDown.
Goku is now close enough to be sensed, And Nappa doesn't believe that they can feel powers without a scouter, so Vegeta has to double check.
Dad's mom gets out her smartphone and Googles it.
Well, this is an interesting thing that I wanted to note. Like, prior to the Saiyan showing up in Dragon Ball Z and the introduction of scouters, previously in Dragon Ball, had the phrase power level ever been used before?
I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so it just really tickles me that these guys with their weird technology that just renders all of the mystical chi bullshit of this universe down into numbers, and everybody instantly picks up on the terminology, even when they're detecting it through, like, you know, psychic aura means and not using a scouter.
Yeah,
right.
Previous to having the scouters give hard numbers to things, it was just like, he feels really strong.
I detect a great energy.
I sense the energy.
Well, we've already established that no one in this world is good at math except for Gohan. So,
Gohan can rule the galaxy.
Yeah, no one in the universe is good at math.
Because they should have, like, the first time they used those things, been just, like, their power level's 1,000. Like, is that good?
Is that high? Is that low?
Is that a lot of numbers? I've read an interpretation once that claims that, like, as of the time of the original trilogy in Star Wars, like, almost nobody in the galaxy knows how to read anymore. And it was kind of compelling, and this is reminding me of that. Like, this is a dark future where everybody except for Gohan, with his college-level math homework, has forgotten how to do math.
Vegeta detects Goku coming and finds out that his resting power is now 5,000. It can't be 5,000. Apparently it is, though.
Disbelief.
Apparently it is.
Goku mentions he thinks something terrible is happening.
Yeah, for the third episode in a row, he says that.
He can only feel 5 power levels. Where did everybody else go?
Too huge, too weaker, one fading.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I guess Vegeta is spooked by Goku's power, because he decides to nix this whole Earth Dragon Ball plan. He's like, we're gonna just go get the wish orbs on Namek.
Yeah, like, apparently that's a thing we knew about.
Yeah, I guess they did know about them, and it's still gonna bother me that they...
Well, it has a very similar vibe to Raditz earlier. Oh, right, I remembered I had a brother.
Right, yeah.
They do say in the Japanese version that, like, they've heard legends of it, but they didn't think it was real.
Okay.
Didn't care to check.
That also brings me to the point that they heard somebody who they didn't know talking through Raditz's scouter vaguely while they were doing something else, who gives an unverified report that there's a thing that grants wishes. Let's go into stasis for a year and travel across the galaxy to check this out.
Let's put off our Bug World barbecue.
I feel like we didn't have that much to do.
Nah, just eating some bugs.
Vegeta decides that now is the time to fuck up Goku's friends, because they're going to need to concentrate on him when he gets there. They don't need any stragglers.
Nope.
So it is Nappa versus Gohan again, and Gohan gets him with a pretty good kick.
Yeah, and Vegeta makes a really good face when this happens. It cuts to Vegeta's face, a real close-up of his face for like 1.5 seconds, mm-hmm. and that eyebrow just goes into the stratosphere. He's like, wait, what? Did that happen? Vegeta's losing control of this whole situation now, and he's very displeased about it.
Nappa goes flying through a rock formation. Nappa's not happy about that, and he sends out an enormous blast over Gohan. And then Gohan dies.
Wait, no.
Because nobody cares about Gohan, right?
No.
Uncle Piccolo.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's a Big Green.
It's Green Dad.
Yeah, Big Green intervenes, and he's running, and the animation, like, I got the implication that his body was moving almost instinctually. Mm-hmm. Just the look on his face. Like, I gotta get in there. And we get a couple of flashbacks to their time together in the wilderness. And Big Green does realize that there is a change going on inside him now.
He confirms that first it was just revenge on Goku, but now this boy is his son. His monkey son.
If you hop back to those last few seconds there in that episode, I noticed an odd difference in that the song that's playing is the same, except the dub has a lot of, like, extraneous voiceover that the Japanese doesn't, which is making room for this, like, epic operatic vocal. over the background.
They like to toss those in every once in a while.
Yeah, which I didn't hear in the English version, but the Japanese version has this tug your heartstrings opera chorus singing to you of Piccolo's impending doom.
That's all I have for episode 27. Are there any closing thoughts?
The closing thought I have is the narrator here asks, has Piccolo made the ultimate sacrifice? And my thought
is... No, Tien did.
Yeah, I was about to say, yes, but also no, because death is weird.
Yeah. To be fair to people watching, like, as it was airing, this would be a big sacrifice for Piccolo, because he is divorced from the rules of the Dragon Balls, because without him, they don't exist.
That's true.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, we have the benefit of hindsight now in the year of our Lord 2018. back as 90s kids, holding on to the next tsunami where we need to know what happens to Green Dad.
Is he going to make it?
Is he going to make it?
We're going to have to find out next week.
I'm on tenterhooks over here.
I think Jason and I are the only ones who know who Mr. Satan is.
That's true. Well,
yeah, I've picked up a little bit.
I don't know if it is worth covering him this week or not.
I don't want you to skip it by any circumstances. It's one of the best parts of the show.
Okay. Do you guys want, like, a brief explanation as to who he is so you can participate a little
better? At least hold his
better
picture.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah, I would like that.
All right. So, very briefly, Mr. Satan is the strongest normal man on Earth. So not a Z-Fighter. Outside of Krillin and Tien, he is the strongest human. He becomes the World Martial Arts Champion after the Z-Fighters stop participating, because normal people can compete again without these monsters just wrecking the show. And he is one of Toriyama's favorite characters also. Toriyama has said that he always wanted to do a spinoff just about him.
Oh my god.
So that's kind of where I got the inspiration for talking about what his antics are everyone else is doing their thing.
Yeah, based on what I know about Mr. Satan, even prior to listening to this podcast, I get the sense that that would be the Better Call Saul of the Dragon Ball universe.
Exactly.
Which I could not be more here for.
And he doesn't show up until the tail end of the Cell Saga. Also worth noting, he has a daughter who is about Gohan's age named Videl, because they're all named after devils.
Oh, I heard you talking about Videl. I thought that was like a Vidalia onion. I thought we were still going with the vegetable theme.
No, it's just devil, but mixed up.
Oh.
Toriyama really does not give a shit, does he?
Nuh-uh.
Nope.
I mean, he's living his best life, obviously.
He's a draft .5 kind of guy.
Oh, she looks cool.
Okay, so knowing that, now here's my question about Mr. Satan. Because as I understand it, he got that name from the Satan Dojo.
Yes.
So when Videl, not Vidalia, Videl?
Videl.
Videl was born, he would have no connection to the whole Satan brand.
Yes,
so
and no.
Oh, what?
His real name is... The English romanization is Mark, as we've talked about on the show, but the Japanese sort of translation is Maku, which was just Toriyama rearranging the letters of Akuma, which is also devil.
Oh.
So the devil persists throughout.
Okay, because I was going to ask, like, who the wife was that, like, was, let's name our daughter Devil backwards.
Well, I mean...
Sounds great to me.
Well, the reality is that if that woman had existed, they would not have gotten divorced. Like that, would have been the soulmate for Mark.
Mark's first wife, Beelzebarbara.
Is that her name now in the Hail Satan canon?
It
Why
is.
Not?
All right,
Beelzebarbara.
Absolutely. Well, let's actually get into some Hail Satan.
His room. We last left off with East City getting destroyed.
Yes. Yeah.
He's in Orange Star City, which neighbors you, so he knows
it's
what happened.
Very close by.
And my theory is that his roommate Bacterium was caught in the blast.
Sadly.
Rip.
And it lights a fire under his ass to fight aliens from space.
How does he go about doing that? Does he
and
train
defend
first?
The Earth? Well, I think he starts up his vigilante business with his partner in crime, Cannoli. Is that what you decided?
yeah, that's not Yamcha.
Yeah. From the orphanage.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not even, he doesn't even, he does not really doing it for Bacterian. It's just like, I just gotten so used to having him around. Like, he doesn't know, he doesn't know what to do with his life now that he doesn't have the Sisyphean obstacle of Bacterian to push against constantly.
Yeah.
So he needs to set himself a new challenge.
I wanted to talk about Videl again this week. We kind of touched on it last week, but we've previously decided that she lives with her mom. But at some point that changes, because when Videl is introduced, she is living with Mr. Satan. Do you think her mom lived in the city that blows up this week?
Oh, that's too sad.
Very sad.
No,
and Videl was just spending the weekend with dear old dad.
Well, there has to be some, I feel like there has to be some, like, weird, elaborate Shakespearean reason that she has an actually capable parent, but she ends up living with him.
Right, like, I can't believe that it's by choice.
I don't know if it's that Beelzebarbara is dead, but there has to be some weird reason.
Yeah.
Maybe after we don't, I guess this wouldn't be relevant until a little bit into the future, but maybe in the wake of, like, the chaos of the Earth is in, that Earth is in at this point, Launch goes off and starts a new criminal career, and Beelzebarbara becomes her partner in crime, but they both go to prison, and so Videl has to move in with her dad.
You know, I actually love that because Videl is one of very few characters who has an incredible sense of justice in this show.
Interesting. Yes.
Because she is also a crime fighter of sorts when she's introduced. So I would absolutely love that. Yes.
And it gives us something for Launch to be doing.
Yeah, Beelzebarbara joins Launch's new crime syndicate after Tien dies.
Oh, I'm into that.
And presumably this crime syndicate, like, there's just Tien's face is just plastered all over everything. Like,
yes.
Their headquarters is just a giant fucking shrine. To Tien, everyone else is kind of weirded out by it. But
who is this three-eyed man? I don't know, but she's way into him.
And the last time someone complained about it, she shot him several hundred times.
Yeah, that's some strong stuff. I like that a lot. So that doesn't happen quite yet, I guess.
No,
but we have a path for Videl. That's good.
Excellent.
So what else is Mark up to this week?
I say him and Canola just take to the streets and start dishing out some justice. The problem is that most of the streets are empty because everyone's evacuated.
They keep trying to find streets, but they're not where they used to be.
I think this involves him going up to cars that are parked illegally, even though they were kind of moved in blasts and shockwaves. And instead of delivering tickets, they just kind of beat up on him Street Fighter style.
Like, he puts a ticket, which is not a real ticket. He made it.
No, it's a Satan ticket.
On a sticky note. He puts it on the bottom of his boot, and he dynamite kicks the windshield. And sometimes the ticket ends up in the car.
Sometimes. If you're lucky.
Yes. 50% roughly.
At what point does he find out that Cannoli was previously a criminal?
I don't know. Are we ready for that?
That's a twist in the arc. Perhaps not yet.
No.
But worth remembering.
Oh, his young, shitty Robin.
Yeah, that's what... Maybe the drama... Well, presumably Vince McSatan has been following in his wake this entire time, relating his exploits to the world.
Yeah.
And there has to be a dramatic betrayal by his comrade to keep the audience interested.
That's just good TV.
Mm-hmm. It's good storytelling.
Any other closing thoughts for Mr. Satan this week?
Do you think if Videl is Gohan's age, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is she in school like Gohan should be?
Mm-hmm.
She's probably going to normal people school.
Yeah.
So then does Mr. Satan get to help her with her homework?
For the sake of her grades, I hope not.
Yeah, what is Mr. Satan's grasp of numbers?
Maybe he's...
Well, to be fair, he doesn't have to be very good at them to be better than everyone else of importance in this world.
Maybe he helps with, like, the macaroni art project.
there should be one subject that he is just inexplicably amazing at, and she starts acing, getting straight A pluses because of his assistance. What is that subject?
It's anatomy.
Oh, of course.
He knows where the kicks go.
Health class.
And his porn career.
Yes.
Yeah.
He knows where where everything goes.
I know all the nooks and crannies.
Oh. Awful.
But for like for every subject other than health class, Videl has to either like hide her homework or make fake homework that he can help her with, so that he feels better about himself.
Yeah.
Or at some point, she probably just says, "They got rid of homework. They abolished it. They don't have that anymore."
It's one of those Scandinavian style schools now.
I like the idea of a child writing quiz questions for their parent to make their parent feel better.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like what their relationship is. Like, she is the adult.
What would Dad know about? What can I ask him and
Mark
say it's homework?
Mark won 5 championship belts. The mayor of the world and King Furry gave him 17 more championship belts. How many championship belts does Mark have?
He's trying his best.
He is.
This is my favorite thing.
We need to give him credit.
Oh, that's a good note to go out on, I think.
Jason, what's going on with the Dragon Radar?
You know, they're around.
Well, we need a better closing segment, I think.
We do.
Well, actually, at this point, they're explicitly not around. They don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're rocks now. They're not luminous.
The radar might have been an ill-conceived segment.
Mayhap.
Just considering how little they actually factor into things.
Well, I think I remember it being slightly more important than Namek.
They do change hands a little bit more frequently. Maybe we'll just put a pause on the Dragon Radar for now.
It needs to charge.
Well, thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of Destructo Discourse. Jason, where can we find you on the internet?
On the internet, I exist on the Twitter and the Tumblr, and for both, the name is JCalves. That's JAYCALVES.
And Melissa, how about yourself?
I'm all over the place as Kristaia, KRISTAIA.
Aaron and Dave, you are both off the grid.
Is that true? I live under a rock. It's very comfy here.
Yep, I'm a nobody. That may change at some point in the future, but...
Well, we'll keep you posted, but thank you both for joining me all the same. You can also listen to my other podcast, What the Folklore, which is a weekly show where my roommates and myself read through a random fairy tale from somewhere in the world and joke about it. As for this show, you can find it at destructo_disc, D-I-S-C, on Twitter. You can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com with any comments, critiques, or questions. And if you would, please be so kind as to rate the show 4 stars on iTunes. Jason, why is that?
3 stars is not enough, and 5 stars, it's a little too much. It's like a heavy dinner. Like, it's a little too much. No, we need the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan.
Thank you all for listening again. Thank you all for joining me. And we will see you next week on Destructo Discourse. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't want to search the earth, within it was a magic surprise. Oh, chala, chala, be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through.